Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloopfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of Pro Metabolic Food Supplements and Seriously Saturated Skincare. And today I'm joined by my friend, Kate Deering, author of How to Heal Your Metabolism. She's also working on a second book, which she's been working on it for forever. I'm like, can you hurry up and finish it?
Yeah, it's almost done.
It's close, hey?
Yeah, it's been incubating for way too long. But I am almost complete. Yeah. I would say about 3 months till it's completely, at least rough draft.
It's exciting. Super exciting. I can't wait to read it.
You will learn so much. Well, you might not learn so much, but
I'm sure I will.
Most people will learn so much.
Yeah.
I've learned so much. When you start going down all the rabbit holes and now, you know, when you realize how you need to, the first book helped me understand all the levels you have to communicate things to people. Meaning you write things and then people have 85 questions about it. So when you write a next book, you hear all the questions. So you have to write from all those points so that you can. So when people are done, they're like, oh my God, I don't have any questions because she went through all the different questions I would have had.
It's going to be so good because if your first book is brilliant, you know, we always recommend clients buy it and read it. And I think this book will be even better, you know.
It will build. It will build on what you already know coming from a different space. Mm. So it'll help answer a lot of questions, I think.
Yeah. So today we just thought we would talk, well, I was thinking how to heal your metabolism.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah. Go read Kate's book. Yeah.
Go read my book. Okay. This podcast is over.
And so maybe to start with, like, because this book and your books and your work and our work, like, who is it really heavily influenced by? Talk about some of the people first.
Well, I would say the primary influence is the work of Dr. Ray Peet, but also like Broda Barnes, Hans Selye. I mean, there are a series of people that I think we use in reference because they're all coming from some level of either energy metabolism, thyroid level, stress. All of those things kind of mishmash together to come up with this point of view of why this is a good route to kind of see your health lens through.
And Dr. Ray Peet's dead now, which is unfortunate. He died last year, which is really sad.
No, I think it was 2 years now.
Was it 2 years ago? Oh my God.
Yeah, it goes by really quick.
It does go by.
It's been a bit.
55.
Well, I'm 53. Nearly. Let's not jump on it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. I just give a shit about being old.
Hates. Yeah. I feel like I am a senior in this space for sure.
You are.
I feel like I've definitely been in this workspace for quite a long time. And it has evolved, obviously, with how people interpret it. But, you know, when you, the more you learn and the more you stay in the space, I feel like the more you understand Ray's work and you really start to see, like, wow, like that truly makes sense. And this is makes a deeper understanding of where he was coming from. In the beginning, you just see the surface stuff, you know, maybe the foods he recommends. And then you start to understand physiology a little bit better. And then you understand where he was actually coming from when he makes his arguments, because if you read his work, it sometimes is very challenging because it's like you don't have the Ray Peet clip notes yet, so you can't interpret how he's saying things. And so once you start to really understand where he's coming from, you're like, huh, this now makes a lot more sense to me.
I know, I'm so eternally grateful for finding him and Emma and you and, you know, Danny and Georgie, and it's just obviously completely changed my life. And I think one of the things I'm most grateful for is just being able to eat real delicious food again. I know that probably sounds a little bit simple and silly, but honestly.
Yeah, and I think that's always one of the bigger, well, the good things about this is that once you get it working for you, right, and how it works for you will probably be different because it all changes essentially because of you and your physiology at the time, right? Not because your biology is actually very different from somebody else's that's healthy, but if you're coming in with complications, symptoms, situations, lifestyle, whatever, what will work for you is going to be probably different than someone else, or at least your starting point is going to be different. But if you're all kind of on a similar health journey, or you're on a health journey, at some point it might look very similar to them. But ultimately, it's going to be about, you know, figuring out what your body can take in, digest, absorb, and how it, and what it can utilize to help you produce energy better. That's ultimately what you're trying to do, is how do you produce energy more effectively and better for you, so that your body has enough energy to support itself, heal itself, build muscle, whatever it needs to be doing, sleep, right? That's effectively what we want it to do.
So can you then just talk about, like, if someone asked you, well, what is metabolism? Like, what does that even mean? And then how are some ways that we can measure it? You know, what is a healthy metabolism, strong metabolism look like versus, say, sluggish, slower metabolism?
Well, you can look at metabolism as it's the sum of every metabolic process that goes in your body, or it's how well you convert fuel into energy, and fuel meaning food, right? Because I always tell people, you aren't what you eat. You are how well you can convert what you eat into energy, because it's the energy that we produce that supports our systems, not just the food itself, right? We break the food down, and then we use it, and we go through cellular respiration to produce energy. And it's the energy, or the ATP, that we produce from that process that is allowed to maintain our structure, and it allows to maintain the function of our cells. So energy is needed for both of those things, right? We have to maintain our structure, which is our human body that's made of trillions of cells. And a lot of those cells have, all those cells have some sort of function, right? Whether it's for the digestion, for transportation, for whatever it is, they need energy for that to all happen. And so we have to be able to utilize and break down our food sources to convert those into energy effectively. And that's what's going to basically produce our health. And if we don't do that effectively, then we start to struggle, because then we don't have enough energy to support our systems in our body. And then they don't work as well. And then they start to deteriorate, their structure starts to deteriorate, and then they don't function as well. And so that's when we see symptoms. So ultimately, So the symptoms that you would look at if someone was starting to have a compromised metabolic rate is, first, because we know it's a product of energy, and energy also produces heat. So normally you'll see people that are much cooler. So their body temperature might be 97, 96.5, right? Ideally, you want to be 98.6, 97.8 upon waking. A woman's temperature
will fluctuate. Sorry, in Australia, because in Australia.
Australia. Yeah, 37. Or everyone over
36.4, 36.6 to 37.
Exactly.
Degrees. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Celsius. So you're on a little different metric here. But yes, US wise, we like the Fahrenheit. But you will be cooler. And it also could, even if you don't take your temperature, maybe your hand,
cold hands
are
and
cold,
feet.
Your nose is cold, or you just feel colder all the time. That's also a product visit your body. And we know that because older people are usually much colder, and younger people are much warmer. You know, you go out in the colder climates, you'll see young people with shorts, t-shirt on, walking around totally fine. And then you'll see an older person has four jackets on, a hat, because they're essentially, their body isn't able to produce energy as effectively. So they're going to be much, much colder. So that's certainly one sign. And then symptomatically, you'll see people that have slow or sluggish digestion. It could result in constipation or diarrhea. You might have digestive issues, leaky gut, SIBO, IBS, IBD. Any function of those can result in a system that's under energized. You can have hormonal issues. Maybe you don't even have a period. You could have infertility. You could have no sex drive. You could have irregular periods. You could have horrible periods, heavy periods, PMS. Yep. Although, because we do know, like, for a woman, your period is a sign of your health. And so if you have a healthy 28-day, 29, 30-day cycle, and it's not to say you might not be free of completely all symptoms all the time, but if very low symptoms, you don't experience a lot of PMS, then that would be a sign of health. If you have severe periods, extreme cramping, heavy bleeding, clotting, diarrhea, headaches, migraines, all that, then yeah, that is something that can be worked on and improved if you do improve overall energy production.
What about, like, perimenopause and menopausal symptoms? So, like, Ray's obviously written a lot about menopause. And what's his view on what's actually causing those symptoms?
So, well, for symptoms of menopause, I mean, Ray would always come from an energy standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. And I would as well. And certainly working with women that have gone through or in perimenopause to menopause. And what you see all the time, specifically in women, is women tend to do two things. They overwork, overstress, overtake care of everybody else, and underfuel and undernutrition themselves. And that combination is normally going to result in a system that's overstressed and undernourished. And then you add perimenopause, which is going to be a stress on their system. Now, their cycling is going to be irregular, their hormones are going to be irregular, and that's just going to impact their overall health. So if things are not in check and they aren't nourished, they're not eating enough, or they're overly stressed, then perimenopause is going to impact them a lot more. I always think it's like, you know, you have a scale, and if you put too many stressors on one side of the scale, you're going to start to be symptomatic. And so if you already have a ton of stressors on one side, now you add on, your system is going to be irregular because it's going to happen eventually, then the symptoms are going to increase and you're going to feel worse. But if you can regulate that system, meaning get their food, their nutrition, and train or get proper sleep. And although I know I can hear a lot of women already say, but I can't sleep because I'm already in perimenopause. So then you work on the things like eating regular meals throughout the day with a good amount of nutrition. And it's very important you get enough carbohydrates in. And that's going to help kind of mitigate some of the stress response from your body feeling more stress, which will help you feel more regulated.
But can I just jump in here and just tell you something interesting? Sure. From a conversation I had just related to this topic is, and it still actually blows my mind, is how much improvement women see from doing, like, you know, 80-90% improvement from doing just the basics. I had a call with one of our group coaching clients, and there was more than two women on there, but two of them I was chatting to, both in their 40s. And one lady was like, I remember having the call with her before she signed up. And she was having all of these, like, she was feeling nauseated and, you know, like not great sleep and, you know, some of those typical sort of symptoms that you would experience in perimenopause. And I had said to her about, look, we really need to get you eating enough, you know, and balancing your blood sugar, eating these regular well-balanced meals. And she got on the call yesterday and she's like, Kitty, I can't actually believe it. but she's like, my nausea is gone. And I just feel so much better. I've got energy. My sleep is starting to improve. And she's like, just from doing those basic things that we talked about, I just can't believe how much improvement I've had. And this other lady, she was like, oh, I followed you for so long. And, you know, I just was like, because, you know, we talk a lot about, especially in the beginning, just simplifying your meals to make it easier. You know, we've got some really good strategies in our program. We're like, well, what do you enjoy from the food list? You know, these are the foods you want to choose from to get the nutrients you need, and then pick the ones that you enjoy and the meal frequency you enjoy. And she's like, I finally have got on board with the, like, planning ahead and prepping the food. And she's like, I just feel so much better already. And she's like, I just, like, can't, like, you'd been saying it to me. I was like, no, I can't live like that. I can't prepare my food. And she's like, I just can't go back now. And it's actually quite incredible. And I'm not even doing things like, she's like, I've only just implemented a few things so far with the food and the meals. And she's like, it's just, she's like, it's really amazing.
Yeah. Those are fair. I mean, if you'll do them, there's some low hanging fruit that people can do. Like, you don't have to do, like, I think sometimes people get into this space and they see all the different things and the different supplements and the different things people are doing. And they feel like they have to do 100 different things. And I'm like, you don't. You do like 4 or 5 things, and if you do them well, you'll get a really good, you'll feel so much better after that. Then if you want to kind of fine tune it after that, you can, and then you'll have the bandwidth to be able to do that. So the basics are, and like you said, look, you do need to have some level of planning, and that is going to help you, because if not, we all know if we don't have a plan, then we get up and we will rinse and repeat the exact same thing that we've done before, because we're already behind the eight ball all day. And so we react to all life and we're grabbing as we go, and that just doesn't work. But if you can, like, have a plan and go, okay, this is what I'm eating for breakfast, and then you know, I'm going to get some protein and my carbs in and have a substantial meal, that alone is going to set you up for the rest of the day. Right. So if you can, like, start there, usually people will feel a lot better just because they've already started the basis of their day. And then if you're just like, can we rinse and repeat and have 3 meals like that? Right. Yeah. Have 3 like, meals that are balanced like that, that have a considerable amount of calories and a decent amount of protein and a decent amount of carbs, that you're not trying to eat these low carb meals. Right. And then have small snacks in between. that will set, and honestly will help 80-85% of people feel 60-70% better.
And it's, and
then you find it from there.
I think too, you know, some women will say to me, like when they come in, they're like, oh, but I'm eating healthy and I'm strength training, but I'm still not getting the result that I want. Like I'm doing the right stuff. And I was like, well, you are doing some great things. Like great that you're eating consistently. You're doing some strength training. Brilliant. But there's something that you're missing, because otherwise, you know, and a lot of the time it is simple. And when they come in and they track their food, I'm like, okay, great. Look at your breakfast. You've only got 10 grams of protein. You know, like you're under eating. You might think that you're eating enough. Oh, the dogs are opening the curtains.
And there was light.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
light.
It streams. Hang on a second. It just streams right in the morning. And then, you know, once we actually do a bit of a deep dive into what they're doing, and then they, you know, I remember this lady messaged me last week. She's like, oh, Kitty, I did what you said and I bumped up the protein. I added more carbs in and I'm already just feeling so much better and I've got more energy. Thanks so much. Like sometimes it can feel like you're doing everything right, but you need someone to look internally and go, okay, well, let's tweak this, or we need to change this with your training, you know, and just like we were talking about before, having that specific plan I think is really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think most people are going to argue that having someone help you along the way is going to be helpful, especially when you're doing a new approach, because sometimes you need outside eyes to look in on your stuff. It's hard to coach yourself or train yourself. It, you know, some people can, but it does help, because certainly tons of people are doing a lot of the right things, but if they're not kind of getting a good foundation, at least earlier on in the morning, it doesn't work as well. And so you do need someone to kind of help tweak it for you, because that will help you. And it can be as easy as that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this doesn't have to be complex. Some people are more complex.
100%.
Certainly if you come in and you have a lot of symptoms and a lot of issues and problems, the path to get you there might be a little bit slower and a little bit more like fine tuning. We can't just jump all in, because your body might not respond well to jumping all in. So you have to inch your way in. And you just need to be consistent with it. But it can get better if you come in at the right time, direction, so forth. And it's kind of using that approach and just kind of fine tuning it for the individual based on kind of where their starting point is.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. So back to the perimenopause and menopause. So you were just talking about, yeah, and I agree with that. Like I've just seen so much improvement in women in the hot flushes and the sleeping, and just by starting with that, eating adequate calories, balancing their blood sugar throughout the day, eating these nutrient-dense foods. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, look, when you go through perimenopause or into menopause, your sensitivity to stress decreases. Mm-hmm. You are going to, and so if you're already on this cusp where you're pushing yourself hard and now you're going through perimenopause, you're now pushing yourself over the edge, and now every little thing's going to affect you and every little response is going to happen to you, and so you're going to feel it. And because most women don't know how to eat in response to that, and they're basically going, oh my God, I feel worse. Maybe I need to tighten up my nutrition even more, or whatever they need to do. And that usually means eating even less carbohydrates. So I can't have that. And then they think, you know, and I'm not referencing like you should go out and be eating a ton of cupcakes, but most people think when they're tightening and getting healthier, they're not adding things like fruit and orange juice and milk back into their diet, because it has a lot of nutrition, is very easy to digest, and allow your body to kind of mitigate the stress response, because that's what's happening to you. As soon as you get closer to, again, your stress resilience goes down a little bit, you are one foot into the stress response already. It's like being on a keto diet. It can work, but it does push you a little bit closer to the stress response. So then when your body does experience stress, you don't respond very well. As you even get worse off, and you, like every little thing starts to affect you. So then we have to wind you back and go, what can help mitigate the stress response, right? Which is everyone's being affected all the time, 24 hours a day. And one of the primary things that's going to mitigate that is carbohydrates, salt, nutrients, because they're going to A, help you utilize energy or create energy. But the carbohydrates are literally going to put a halt to your stress response, because your stress response is occurring to create more fuel available to your system. So if you give yourself exogenous fuel or food, that will lower it, which will get you closer to feeling better. But again, depending on how deep you are in the stress response already, sometimes you just can't eat carbs and it fixes it. you have to like inch your way in a specific way so your body gets it to a place. Because if you have too many carbs too quickly, it's also going to give you a bad response. And if you're way into the stress response, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So you have to go more slow and steady, and or right, someone that's severely stressed in perimenopause, it's maybe also starting to have a lot of GI issues. You know, you might have to start there, because if your digestive system starts to get effed, the entryway of all your food and nutrition starts to get affected, right? And now you can't even get the proper nutrients. You can't get the food in without having some sort of reaction to it. So that might need to be addressed first. So it is kind of unwinding all of that to find out, okay, where can we start making an impact that feels positive to you without creating a negative? Because if we go too fast or go in the wrong way, that's what can possibly happen. And that's why this approach can be a little bit complicated, because it's not just about taking an entire macronutrient out or just eating such low calories that the only way would be that you eventually, yes, start losing weight, or because you take out a whole macronutrient, people are just eating less. And initially, yeah, they're always going to get maybe a positive response to that because they're just eating less. But it usually those approaches just aren't sustainable because they're never fixing the underlying problem, which is a system that's dysregulated.
Yeah, I think this is why the tracking of the food is so important as well. Like, one thing I see with, you know, sometimes we'll get women come to us like, oh, you know, I found this whole world and I just didn't track my food and I started eating all of this ice cream and delicious food and I just gained so much weight, which obviously you don't want to do because then you've got to get it off, which is...
Well, and I think, and I have, you know, I have people come out and ask me questions all the time. They're like, look, I saw this on this podcast and they're talking about the calories don't matter anymore. It's not about calories anymore. I'm like, look, maybe calories matter.
They do matter.
They still matter. That you can't just eat endless amounts of calories. And even if it's the most prized food in the planet, and the most nutritious, if you eat too much of it, you're going to gain weight. You know, so they do matter, but certainly other things are important. The quality of the calories matter, the nutritional factor of it, right? How it's going to look in your body from your blood sugar and a GI perspective. Like, those also matter, but the calories also matter, right? And if you are in a state where you've gone through an adaptive measure, your internal basal metabolic rate might be reduced, and we see that because your body temperature is colder and you have a lot of symptoms. Then if your body's learned to operate on 1200 calories, you eating 2500 calories thinking, well, I'll just raise my metabolism and eat more, that's not going to work. You're just going to gain weight. At some level, it's very possible that some functions of your body might feel better because now they're getting more fuel. But ultimately, yeah, your body's just going to store a lot of this excess fuel because your body has no idea how to use it yet, or burn it, or create energy from it. It's going to take time for the body to adapt. So you kind of have to go on a slow and steady pace. It can, and it can if you do it properly. But ultimately, right, you can't just go from A to Z in a week or a month.
And that's something I talk to about with the women in our program. You know, like, our group coaching program is 12 months. And I'm like, take this pressure off yourself that you have to get this right in 3 months, that you need to get there in 3 months, because it's like, for many of them, they've been doing what they've been doing for so many years, and you can't, like you say, unravel all of that. And then she just wants to keep opening the curtain.
It's like a studio outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the sun streams in them. It's annoying. But they, you know, I say to them, take the pressure off yourself and just give it a good 12 months. You know, it's not like you're going to see no improvements and no changes, but it's slow and it takes time to change behaviors, and the progress isn't going to be linear. And a lot of the time when I say that, they're like, you know, and they're learning the meal planning, the tracking, they're learning how to strength train too. A lot of them haven't strength trained, or, you know, I guess it's like, I'm trying to think of the right words, but sort of rewriting the stories or the beliefs that they've got. Look, you know,
most people, and certainly most women, and it's unfortunate because women are being told this bag of shit where they have to do it all and do it all with eating a lot less, right? And they need to be small, and they need to eat less, and they need to be the provider, the mom or protector, or take care of the house, or whatever it is. And then they're told, like, you know, and they learn that, like, oh, to be a good mom and everything, I got to put myself like 10th on the list. Mm-hmm. So they're dealing with a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. And so when they come to this place, when they're finally like, you know what I've been doing isn't working, right? Mm. It's obviously not working. I've been banging the drum. I do something for a little bit and I get a little result and I get it. I did that. Rinse and repeat it every 6 months. And it gets exhausting. And when you finally say, I need to take a completely different approach and I need to work on my health and I need to build a better foundation for myself. Like that's going to take a minimum of 12 months. It can take longer. And if people, and once they get better and you start rebuilding them back up, then they realize, oh yeah, this is exactly what I do need. Yeah. So if you're going in for something for a few months, unless you're just having a specific health thing that you might want to be addressing, but ultimately it will take time to fix your system. It took a lot of years to get it to where it was. All that dieting, all the stress, all the things you've been doing, all the low carb diets, all the things that you did that maybe were successful for years, took a toll. You know, the good news is that your body is this living organism with living cells and they can shift back. We just have to figure out the path to them to get there, you know, and it can be a little bit bumpy. And certainly if you take a wrong turn or you go too fast, you might get a negative result. Mm-hmm. So it does help to have a little bit of guidance and some people to kind of direct you through so that you're like, okay. And then you'll also get an idea of like what this looks like and what it takes, because it takes work and it takes preparing and it takes planning and it takes, right? You're not going to be starving, but it's not as convenient as if you go out 6 days a week, right?
Yeah.
Those you have to shift. And so at the same time, you have to be understanding. I do understand that, you know, people are busy and it's stressful and women are busy, you know, more than ever. And so at this point, like, look, you got to take care of yourself.
And again, like back to this giving it time, you know, this woman on the call yesterday, she's like, look, I'm 6 weeks in and I haven't actually started the training yet. I've just been focusing on implementing the nutrition and getting my steps in. And then next week I'm going to start the training. And, you know, she's like, I've done this part with the meal. But I was like, that's bloody perfect.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking perfect. You know,
yeah.
Like instead of putting all this pressure on yourself, like, oh, I have to do everything perfectly and get it all implemented. If you just like, all right, you can do one thing this week. And then next week, imagine where you'll be in 3 months when you just implement one small habit every day or every week. And then you just continually build on that, get your head around, you know, each thing. Imagine where you'll be in 3 months. You'll be doing things rather than trying to do everything at once and going, oh my God, I'm failing. I can't do this. It's too hard, you know, and just, I think giving yourself grace, like a lot of the time people will message me, you know, because we get various different women in our program, some that have tracked macros before, some that haven't, you know, some that have done meal planning, some that have done none. And, you know, they're like, oh, I'm really overwhelmed with the meal planning. I'm struggling. I'm like, well, that's normal. You know, like you need to give yourself some grace. You know, what skill have you ever been able to pick up in the first go? Like, I mean, maybe there's some things, you know, obviously. It's very easy,
I mean, besides myself, I can.
But, you know, like, it's like you're putting these unrealistic expectations on yourself. You know, this is probably going to take you a good month of practicing to really get the hang of it. So if you can just say to yourself, look, I'm not good at it yet. I'm allowing myself to practice and make mistakes and get feedback and just keep chipping away. If you do that consistently, like every time, you know, they post meal plans and I check them and I give them advice, they're like, oh, this has been so helpful. And the next time they do it, it gets better and they get better at the skill. And eventually they're like, oh, this is so easy, you know. Then I can go out and eat at restaurants and it's not stressful. I can eat without tracking my food. But I think when you take that pressure off yourself to be, I've got to get this right, or I have to get this body in 12 weeks. I have to, you know, be less fat. I just cannot stand to be in this body anymore. But that's, you know, I think it's probably a whole other bloody podcast on body image. And, you know, like you said, we've always just been conditioned to be small and skinny and eat as little as possible and make ourselves as small as possible.
Yeah. Well, and I think we want to come from a place of, look, if you can, it can shift your brain around, like, not that I just want to increase my metabolism, right? Because most people, like, what does that even mean to you, right? Well, I just want to burn more calories. And I'm like, well, that's not inherently what you want to do. You want to increase how well your body's converting your food into energy so your body has enough energy to support it and be healthy. And again, what does that look like, right? It's free of symptoms, good periods, warm body, good digestion, clear thinking, good sleep, good energy through the day, good mood. I mean, again, no one's going to feel like that all the time, 24/7. We all have life, right? It's very normal for people to go through emotional shifts and feel bad at times. And it's normal for you to have a bad night's sleep once in a while, because that's going to happen. That's part of life. The trick is to try to get yourself in tune with what all that means to you. Meaning, if you understand that you had a bad night's sleep, maybe the next day you shouldn't be running that 10 miles. Maybe you go, oh, you know what? I didn't sleep last night. Maybe I need to make sure I eat. Maybe I just go for a walk at night in the, you know, out in the woods or something. And take that we have to learn about our bodies so that we can make the right decisions in the moment. And that sometimes our plan isn't going to be the plan that works correctly, exactly like we want it to. And we'll be able to ebb and the flow. But when we understand the fundamentals of our health and what that all means, then we can make better decisions that will help us later on. And so from my perspective, right, the food and nutritional part is very important. That is incredibly important. And what I will purvey in my next book is going to be a much bigger understanding of what that all looks like. Because I believe when people understand things more, they can make better decisions. When we don't understand things or we're only taking little tidbits of information, then we don't end up making the best decisions for us long term. But when we have a deeper understanding, whether we get it from somebody that's coaching us and giving that information or reading a book that helps us understand that, then we evolve. And now we can go, oh, you know what? I'm not going to be stressed out about that decision. I'm not going to be stressed out about, you know, not pushing it 110% at this workout, because I know that I'm making the best decision for myself based on the information I've gathered and my sleep and the food I've had available to me. And it's not like I'm cheating myself or being a cop out. I'm making the best decision because I know this is the best decision for my health at this moment in time. And then going from there. And I think it's giving power back to people, whether, you know, you're a woman that's going through perimenopause or menopause or whoever you are. It's saying, here's the information. It's not essentially that here's a guide of exactly just what you need to do without any understanding of anything. It's here's information so you can understand your body better so that later you can pick and go, oh, this is what this means. And this is what I should do. And this is what I can do to fix that for myself. Then I think then that's when you really evolve and change people's health. That's certainly my perspective. I think they definitely need to understand the concept of food because realize food is not the problem.
Yeah.
And good food is supportive to you, and we shouldn't, it's not the enemy to us. Right. I mean, sometimes I just listen. I just wish I didn't have to eat. I'm like, okay.
I love eating. Yeah.
We want to make it enjoyable, and it's really stressful for a lot of people. And I see that, and I see because they've gone into the health world, and I feel some level of responsibility because I do think the health world has become very confusing place, or the nutritional world or whatever, because there is so many different perspectives and whatever they're coming from, right? This is poison and that is poison and this is poison. And it's really created a clusterfuck for people.
Did I send you that reel from that glucose goddess, you know, that one, and she's talking about the carrots and how they're poison. Did I send you that?
Maybe.
Oh, a few people sent it to me and I was like, well, if that's true, I'd be dead by now. Cause I've been,
right. And
two carrots a day for the last 10 years. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just want to jump in quickly and talk a little bit more about our 28-day Rebuild Your Metabolism Challenge. So if you're new here or you've been following me for a while and you've heard me talk about the RYM method but you haven't jumped in, the 28-day challenge is the perfect way to kickstart your transformation and experience what the RYM method is all about. In 28 days, you're going to learn how to nourish your body, build muscle and strength, lose stubborn body fat, and restore your metabolism using sustainable strategies, all tailored for women over 40. The challenge is designed to show you that real results don't come from deprivation or cutting carbs or fasting or doing endless hours of cardio and HIIT classes. They actually come from fueling your body with pro-metabolic foods, carbohydrates, and building muscle through effective strength training, and then creating sustainable habits that actually work. You're going to learn how to eat more, eat carbs, train smarter, and feel amazing while seeing real progress in 28 days. So if you've been searching for a program that actually works, this is your chance to see how incredible you can feel when you fuel your body and train with intention. So once you sign up, you're going to be invited to the 28-day community platform, which also has the course materials and instructions on how to get set up with our app. So every day, Craig and I spend time answering questions in the community, and we help coach you through the entire process of what to eat, how much to eat, and how to exercise to restore your metabolism, build muscle, and lose body fat sustainably, all while using the new Strength Tracker app to track your progress, your training, and your nutrition. You can jump on our weekly live coaching calls to ask questions and get personalized coaching, or just reach out in the community at any time and ask questions. The calls are recorded and saved to the course materials. So if you can't make it live, don't worry, you can always watch the replays and you get lifetime access to the course materials. We're going to teach you how to set realistic body composition goals, not just weight loss goals, how to set macronutrient targets specific to your goals, and build your own pro-metabolic meal plans. We also have recipe books, meal plan examples, and food lists. We're going to help you customize a training program that fits how many days a week you can train, how long you can train for, what equipment you have access to, and any injuries. And don't worry, we cover everyone. So whether you have zero experience training, you've never set foot in a gym, to you're an advanced lifter that may be potentially not seeing the results that you want. So I'm going to pop a link in the show notes with all the details, and let's get back to the podcast.
Right. And if we like literally like try to understand the context of where they're coming from, you know, because I always like when people say them, like, okay, where are they coming from? Why are they saying that? What context are they coming from? Right. And the glucose goddess is, again, it's like from a frame that you should maintain your blood sugar within this.
Actually, no, it wasn't. Whatever. It wasn't her. Sorry. I lie. It was. Okay.
Katie lied.
Sorry. It's another one. She's a low carb, like a carnivore type.
Oh, I know exactly. It's the chick that wears the glasses.
The sunglasses, the orange. What's her name?
I don't know.
Yeah. And Subi, I'm like, oh, this is an interesting reel.
You did send me that.
I did send it.
It does. Yeah, she did. I think she was doing a speech and basically like, carrot's going to kill everybody. And yeah. I feel like that's not the thing that's going to kill everybody, but okay. Right? I mean, of all the things, right, that would not be the thing that's going to kill somebody, you know? Mm. So... but whatever. But yes, it's that shit. And as we know, like when you attack things and you go, it certainly gets more likes and clicks and more sharing. Like, see, I told you that we shouldn't even be doing that. And right. And I think we all could be, myself included, you're a little guilty sometimes of like demonizing certain foods. And then you start to realize, okay, look, all food is fine. It's all good.
I think it's the amount that you have of like,
well, and it's understanding where you are at your current health status and working from there. But from an energy perspective, where me and you both look at, there are foods that are better for you if you are looking to maximize energy production, right?
Keep going.
Well, and I think once you get to a healthy place, no food is off limits.
It's just understanding
that food is not ideal for you. Because it could create some GI distress or do whatever, but if you're healthy, have a healthy body, you could pretty much consume anything at some level and be totally fine.
Yeah. But again, it's like the issue, like, because people are like, oh, Kitty, you guys, like, I don't see you eat a ton of salads and green vegetables. I still eat them. But it's just like before I found Ray and you and Emma, my diet like would be, I ate the clean, healthy diet that was considered clean and healthy. So dairy was inflammatory, fruit, sugar. You know, sure. I ate for like breakfast was like egg white fucking omelets with spinach or oats with protein powder and some blueberries because I didn't want to eat too much sugar. Dairy was bad, too much sugar, inflammatory. You know, I had big green salads with like chicken or fish or salmon and then lots of almonds, tuna, flax. I'd eat flaxseed oil with tins of tuna, you know, white fish for dinner, sometimes steak, but you know, cabbage.
But your lens before was I'm going to eat foods that are going to help me lose weight.
Exactly. And that are low calorie and but clean as well, you know. And I think it's not that like now I say to women, I still eat salad. I still eat vegetables. But like, for example, previously the lunch would be big ass green salad, you know, piece of chicken breast, maybe a little bit of olive oil. Whereas now it would be, you know, for example, yesterday I had some slow-cooked lamb shanks with some rice cooked in broth. Then I had some fruit on the side and then I had a small side salad with it just to add some nice flavor and crunch. So still have the salad, but it's not the main part of the dish.
Right. But your health is different now, right? And again, from when I was in a very like low-calorie, low-carb, always try to be as lean as possible, right? Fresh myself however I could just to be as lean, even though I was starving all the time. I was coming from a different lens. My lens was I want to eat to be lean, super lean all the time without an understanding what that he was even doing to myself. right? Mm-hmm. Like my lens of what I was looking through was very different, and I didn't understand everything. So, mm-hmm. but if you look from an energy perspective, is how I want to produce tons of energy so my system works effectively for a very long period of time and doesn't break down. But also when it does that, I also know that I can eat more and my body will able to put on muscle, still work at it, will be able to put on and maintain muscle mass well into postmenopausal later years, because I don't want to lose that, and still not have a lot of body fat because I'm able to consume a lot. And so if I get stressed and I eat more carbs or do whatever, my body is fine with that because it's actually going, oh, good, you're doing that for me again. So I can actually recover and respond to this appropriately, right? So the lens is different, right? Because mm-hmm. I think, as we all know, like all these people online are looking through their perspective of what they think is healthy because they're looking through a different set of glasses. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, their glasses are very foggy because I, from my perspective, don't think that that's the way to health, right? If you don't look at energy production and how well the system is running, right? If the motor isn't running well, then the rest of the car just isn't going to run properly, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you have a new muffler. If the engine doesn't work right, it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why I do think that once people fix the engine, the rest of the car can work a lot better. And that's normally what we find. But mm-hmm. sometimes you have to tweak the engine quite a bit for some individuals. It's not just, you know, getting an oil change. You got to like rehaul the entire thing, and that can take time.
Yeah, it was interesting. There's I just reminded me because I saw a little notification pop up from her. I'm interviewing her on the podcast actually. So we get a really range of women coming to our program, younger women, middle-aged women, older women, women that are like, say, you and I, Kate, when we first started, we were real restrictors, you know, and we managed to like restrict more than we would binge eat, and we stayed small and we stayed lean, and you know, I had a lot of cycle issues, sleep issues, digestive issues. So she came into the program, she's like us. And then we get women who've got like 30-40 kilos to lose, like sitting at like 40% body fat. But anyway, it was so interesting. I've just seen her post a few times because people come in and, you know, like us, like their diet is mostly comprised of like almond milk and nuts and seeds and lean proteins, lots of salads.
Yeah.
And I saw this woman, she's like, oh, I'm really like, you know, I've been eating these foods for years and, you know, I really like them, but you know, she's also 40% body fat. She's got digestive issues and menopausal symptoms. Anyway, this, she's beautiful. She's in her 40s and she's like, oh, look, I was the same. And now that I've, you know, switched my diet around, I still eat some salads. I still eat some nuts, but I'm eating, you know, good quality dairy and the right fruits and the easily digestible carbohydrates and the, you know, bioavailable animal protein. She's like, oh, it's incredible how much better I feel. My digestion's improved. She's also got endometriosis. And she said on the call yesterday, or maybe it was last week, and she's like, oh, my period showed up for the first time with no symptoms. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's like, with all the stuff I've been doing in the program, and then she's still, you know, and I think it takes women time too. Like I'm sure you remember, it took me time to, because I'm sitting at a lot higher body weight than I was when I very first started. I've put on a lot of muscle mass too, and she is still very lean. Like she'd be probably 17% body fat or something like that. So she's at the lower end. And she's seen all of these improvements, but she's like, oh, still my sleep is not as good as it could be. My strength isn't great in the gym. And I said, listen, I think you need to eat more food. You've done so well. You've come this far. And so now she's ready to actually, because she has eaten more food, but increase it again. And I just saw a post in the channel and she said, this is really interesting, really cool, I think, too. She's like, I've upped my calories and I'm focusing on building muscle, which has been so great for my sleep and my strength. But this morning, the scales have gone up to weight, which in the past would have been, you know, very triggering for me. And I did feel my old ways of thinking come into my head and instantly think I must need to cut back on food. So I thought I'd post here for some moral support to trust the system. It hasn't failed me yet. Thanks so much, everyone. And it's great. Like lots of women have commented on there saying, look, we get it, you know, like, and I think it can just, yeah, like when you're trying to, it can be a head fuck. Yep. Like, and this is why I think it's got to be gradual and slow. And you've got to, like we say, do implement things, see improvements, you know, keep going. And yeah, it just can be when you're so used to, like for some women, again, this is women that are small and that have come in that are very lean and like you and I, it can be triggering. It can be triggering to be a higher weight, even though she looks better, like she's put on muscle, her health is better, but still it's so interesting that these old patterns come in.
Yeah, and very normal, right? Especially for women, right? Women are very hard on themselves, and it's sad because they do so much. They put themselves, you know, like I said, 10th on the level of what they put their time and energy into, and then they beat themselves up because they're not the size or weight that they want to be, and then they just do some crazy diet to try to lose the weight, and that works in your 20s, not as well in your 30s, 40s and 50s, it starts to just backfire on you. So by the time you're hitting perimenopause and menopause, it just feels like an endless, like, where do you go? Because you don't feel good, you don't have energy, and you're not at the weight you want, and you don't know which way to go. So you have to unravel that. And you can, it's just not as quick. It's not as immediate that maybe you've been conditioned to learn. And yeah, nobody likes to put on extra weight. They just don't. But it is a process. And when you rethink and kind of look at what you're trying to do, improve how well you create and produce energy from the food you eat, and that can come with a lot of blocks to get to you doing it successfully and effectively. But when you focus on those things and you give them the metrics to kind of pay attention to, right? Pay attention to your digestion, your cycle, your sleep, your mood, your energy, your temperature and pulse. When you start to kind of take and look at those things versus just what the scale is, then you can see the improvements. And yes, it can be a little bit of a mind fuck for a bit, and even for a longer than that. But I assure you, once you start to feel better, women tend to be a lot more kinder to themselves because they actually start to feel better and go, okay, I'm finally taking care of myself, which is a huge jump. But then they can effectively maybe get a new goal when they start to get healthier to get some of the extra weight off. And then you can do it effectively and safely. And when you've completed that, you aren't starving yourself. You've actually done a health benefit to yourself versus, you know, sacrificing your health to get to a certain weight. And you don't have to. And so, that being said, you know, you get to the women through these perimenopause, menopausal years. And I think that's why they end up getting on these hormone replacements, because they can offer a remedy and they do make them feel better. It's still not addressing the overall symptom. They might think it is because they're fixing their low estrogen issue. And I know we discussed that, you know, we're going to have a whole nother conversation about this the next time we chat, because I think it's a big conversation. But that can be a path, but in our perspective, it's not the foundational path to get healthier and feel better.
Yeah. I think the other thing too is one thing that obviously I bang on about so much, and is such a huge part of our program, because obviously women are wanting to, they want to look better. Like, they want to have more muscle and less body fat, is actually building more muscle. And so many of these women that come to us are just under muscled.
Yeah.
You know, and what I've seen with them when they come into the program is when they actually focus on doing all these things we've spoken about, but also strength training and building muscle, that this helps them as well. You know,
because dieting, every time you diet, you're going to lose a little bit of muscle. And if you don't do the dieting properly, you're going to lose even more muscle. And so if you do that, rinse and repeat 5, 6, 7 times, you know, in the last 20 to 30 years, you're losing a good amount of muscle. And so now you've got more weight on you and you have less good muscle tissue on you. And so sometimes, you know, fixing that situation, it's like, hey, now that you have more weight on you, why don't you move it? Because you actually have additional weight to help you weight train without actually putting tons of weight on you. And so use it to your advantage. There is an advantage to having additional weight on you. Mm-hmm. And now use it effectively, right? You can. I mean, you know, really heavy people usually have more muscle mass than if you had a really skinny person, because they just are carrying more weight around. But if you then move around more, that will help you. So it does help to kind of shift your perspective of things and see how you can use things to your advantage in the position that you're in, and then just shift your way around thinking about your health and what health actually means. And that alone can change how you're going to manage the path of whether it is the next 6-12 months or whatever, you are changing how you're going to, kind of proceed with your health.
Again, too, this is another reason why this process takes longer, because muscle building takes time. Like, building muscle is a long, slow process, you know. It's just, and I think we've been so conditioned to having that quick weight loss and seeing those quick changes. And when someone's, you know, we're encouraging women to eat a bit more, you know, like, part of our process when women come in to and use our method and our app is we do a body composition test. So we can tell them, all right, you're at this weight. This is how much muscle you have. This is how much fat you have. Well, where do you actually want to get to? Like, what's your goal body weight, goal body composition? And often Craig will have to look at it and say, well, look, this is an unrealistic goal. You know, we need to probably look at more around this. And then you actually need to gain some muscle to get there, because what you keep doing is you keep focusing on dieting, but you just don't have any muscle underneath. You know, so it's lowering that metabolic rate, and you have to eat less food. And then, so when they're focusing on this body recomposition, and obviously for a lot of women, because they are holding a lot of body fat, they still lose weight, even though they're gaining muscle. But, you know, I've seen women posting there and saying, oh, you know, like, for example, I'm the same weight I was, you know, 3 years ago, but I look so much better and my clothes are fitting so much better because their actual body composition has improved. I'm eating more food. So, you know, it's just such an interesting, once they get their head around it and they can see and they're like, oh, week to week, I'm lifting the weights and I'm eating the food that you're telling me, and I can actually see my muscle mass is going up when they check in. So it's a really cool like system, and it helps, I think, reset your mindset from I just want to be as small and skinny as possible to I want to be, I don't know, strong.
I'm guessing you use circumference measurements.
They do measurements. So they do like their neck, they do their waist, small waist, belly button, hips, thighs, glutes, and then they weigh themselves. And every week when they check in, it actually shows them how much muscle you've put on, how much body fat you've lost, like your goal versus your actual, like where you are.
Okay. So you're using like an algorithm to kind of create that.
Yeah. Something that Craig's created. And it's really, really, like super accurate. Like when we first launched it, I tested it. I went and got a DEXA scan, and then I got my coach that I was training with at the time to do skin folds, and they were only 1% difference body fat.
Are they doing skin folds though? Or are they doing?
No, no. I was talking about comparing to the app, like when it said my body fat was.
Percent. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Those two.
Yeah. It gets a little bit tricky. Like you, Craig and I were talking about last night, when women get very lean, like when they get under like 70% body fat, because then obviously you've lost a lot of fat and you're not really losing much more around your middle. And that's when but he's like, how many women do we work with that are really sub 70% body fat? You know, like you're getting into like competing then and more athletes.
Yeah.
Then.
And that's not specifically that healthy for you anyways.
Yeah. So it's like, it's, you know, I mean, there are women, we've got women in our program who sit at those low level body fat and they are healthy, you know, but again, it's not the majority of the women that we work with. And that's probably getting very specific then. And you probably need to go and do skin folds or whatever. But for the majority of women, it gives them a really, you know, like, especially when they come in, they're like, oh my God, like I've lost like fucking 30 centimeters. I can see that I've gained muscle. I'm feeling so much better. I have lost some weight, but not as much weight as I would have thought that I needed to lose to see progress, but I can actually see that I'm making progress with my body composition.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really cool tool, I think. I don't know. I really love it because I think for so long I just wanted to be fucking small. Like I just wanted to be tiny and eat as little as possible. And now I just want to be strong and I want to be able to eat.
it's definitely a healthier way to be, right? Yeah. And if we're in a world of, look, women, when as they get older, have to worry about other things other than just being small. They need to work out their bones. They need to worry about, you know, heart disease is still the number one killer, certainly in the United States. And, you know, and you women are hit with things like dementia at twice the amount that men are. So we want to take all those things in consideration. We want to give ourselves a dietary approach that will probably mitigate a lot of those effects, you know, for much longer than if you're just stressing the shit out of yourself all the time. I think when you do get into perimenopausal year, you do want to be more healthy. You do want to take those things into consideration, but you certainly don't want to be, you know, 50 pounds heavier either. And so at the same time, look, there is a route that you can go, because ultimately as you get older, your body still needs considerable amount of fuel and energy to run effectively. And if you teach it to run on less, and most women have done that, and a lot of men do too, but you taught your system to use less fuel and less nutrition. And we need to unteach it that. And if we unteach it that, you have a far greater chance of having stronger bones, stronger cardiovascular system, stronger nervous system later in life, which is what you want, I assure you.
And just having more energy and sleeping better. Like, I think that's probably the number, like, and in eating enjoyable food for me, but I like to sleep. Like, I like to have a good sleep and I like to wake up not feeling fucked, you know, like I just think about all the shit that I did when I was younger. I'm like, how? It actually makes me feel sick thinking about it now. Like I had a bad sleep the other night because I stupidly stayed up late doing work till like 12. And then yeah. I had to get up early. So I had like 5 hours sleep. Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's what I say to people. Look, you're never going to be perfect.
No. But you don't repeat that shit every day. Well, like I went to bed early.
Yeah. But we all still make bad decisions and we do that to our, we just like, I got to still get this done. And we all still do it. But when you're healthier, you can manage it better.
Yes. Yeah.
And usually you'll choose not to do it as often, right? It's when you do it often more times. And certainly when you're not at operative at a healthy place, it's going to impact you more, which is going to result in you having a predisposition to all these other illnesses and diseases, right? Which you don't want. Certainly we all in the immediate want to have better sleep and better energy. Like that's what you want today. But, and that's going to help affect you. If you have better sleep and better energy, usually you're going to have less chronic disease later in your life. But I assure you, as you get older, those things, you think about those things because that changes how you live your life. You want the rest of your lives to be good. You don't want to be 80 and have, you know, 15 of those years be complete shit. That's not what you want. And so you have time now in your 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, to take a turn and create a better, healthier body so that you have a good 30 or 40 years left, right? Mm. And not just a good 10 or 15 and then the rest are shit. Because you see that all the time. I see that all the time. And that is a concern. And it should be. Because if you are running on fumes all the time and just worried about your weight and eating less and eating shit, and just worrying about your weight, you're going to hit a wall really soon. And it's not just going to be tired. You're going to have partially a lot of other problems going on in your life. And you do not want that, I assure you.
And, you know, like if you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh, I'm in my 40s, 50s, and it's too late. It's definitely not too late. Like you said, the body can heal. Like I've seen some women have incredible improvements in their health, their fat loss, their body composition, you know, when they're really committed.
It's never too late.
Never.
You always still have an opportunity to do it, right?
Yeah.
Right? You just want lots of different motivations. And certainly because when I certainly will work with older women, and it's like, look, if I can get you focused on these things, because look, it's there. We want to avoid all these things. And if we are healthier in the immediate, you are going to have more energy and you'll feel better and have better sleep, which is going to prevent a lot of these other issues later in life.
Yeah.
And it literally, it's still a function of energy production. When you are a better energy producer, like a children are great energy producers. I mean, at least they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Now children are shit and they're already getting sick at a very young age. Mm. But when they do, they stay fit and lean, have lots of energy, sleep well, right? Heal fast. And kids just have a lower propensity to all these chronic illnesses because they're healthier. They have higher metabolic rates. Their bodies recover better. They still can get it, and they're getting it more in today's world because of all the shit that we have out in the world. But ultimately, we want a metabolism that runs like a kid's because we heal better. We're more resilient. We can deal better. We can eat more and all the things. And so when you have a metabolism that is able to produce energy more effectively, that's essentially what you're going to experience.
And I think you nailed it too. It's like, of course you're going to have stress in your life. You're not going to be bloody perfect, but it builds your resiliency to it. You know, you can cope so much better. This lady posted in, she was so funny. She's like, oh my God, like she actually said this has been life-changing. And she said, I actually am not snapping at my kids anymore. I feel so much more calmer. You know, I'm more resilient to stress. And just even that alone is just so beneficial, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you won't have a bad day here and there where you don't. But what you'll learn and realize is that bad day will be a day and not a month.
You're not going to spiral and want to kill yourself.
Well, yeah. And unless you continue to make shitty decisions, right? I mean, this isn't like you get to a pinnacle and now you can do whatever the hell you want and you're going to be a superpower. You still got to continue to do it. The good news is you'll do it with food that you enjoy and like, and you'll feel like you're well nourished. That's the benefit of it. You're not going to be starving and depleted and hangry and all those other things. So that's the overall benefit. But, you know, you can you can feel better. And if you're not feeling well and you're like listening and you're going, yeah, but I have all these symptoms. I'm like, yes, that is a product of a system that isn't producing energy effectively, and it can be fixed or you can get better. And if we can get you better, then all these other things that could happen possibly in the future, those situations and symptoms and illnesses and diseases, when you are in a healthier position, the rates of those go down. And that's what we want. Mm-hmm. Plus you want, yeah. and for feel better, and we want to sleep, and we want to eat good. We want all those things. And you can have all, right?
You can. Yeah. Just takes a bit of work, a bit of focus, you know, and it will be challenging at times. I always say that to clients, like, listen, there will be times when you're like, oh, you know, this is frustrating and I'm trying to learn this new skill, and you'll, you know, might feel a bit overwhelmed, but that's just normal, you know?
It's normal. 100%.
Give yourself some grace. Don't have to be bloody perfect. Just chip away, chip away, chip away. Give yourself time.
100%.
How much time have we got left? 15 minutes. I'm just trying to think if I wanted to ask you anything. Oh, we probably covered a fair bit enough today, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah, I think people have listened to us crap on for long enough now.
Yeah, no, and I, because me and Kitty were talking that, like, I think we do want to go into, like, a deeper dive into the whole HRT kind of thing. It's certainly becoming, it's certainly becoming more prevalent and coming kind of back in vogue, per se. And I think it's good to have a conversation about the good, the bad, and all the things, and kind of from the bioenergetic pro-metabolic space, what we see and how we look at it. So you can have a, not just saying what it's good or bad, but I think you should have all the information, because I see some bits online that they're talking about. I don't think they give all the information, and I think we need to have all the information. And whatever you choose at that point, certainly it's up to you, because some people are really going to benefit from it, and some people should do it. But you need to have all the information. So that's all I think we will talk about and be able to provide the next time we talk.
It's interesting. Like, I see the Sculpted Vegan. She's posts a lot about the HRT. She was saying her hair was all falling out, and it's so interesting when I sent it to you, and you're like, oh, she's hypothyroid. She's
well, and you do see that with perimenopausal, menopausal women, right? There are definitely things that do happen once that shift happens. And certainly it can be because of that. It's just trying to figure out the right thing for that individual. But yeah, I mean, if you're vegan, there's certainly a ton of probably nutrients that you're not getting. I don't know what her diet looks like, so I can't speak on that. Obviously, people are going to take whatever works for them, as we are too, and give that information. It's important to give all the information though, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's like, and like you say, it's, you want to do the foundational work regardless of whether you're going to take it or not. Like, still.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely work with people that are on it and choose to be on it. And so some might choose to get off of it. But you just need to be like, hey, have you thought about this? Has someone ever explained it to you in this way? Do you know about this possibility? Because look, we still don't have a lot of data on hormone replacement therapy. I mean, we still need a lot more data with it to really give a complete understanding of what it's good for and not, and how it's going to affect women. We just don't have it yet. Luckily, we do have more trials, but to have long randomized control trials, it's very, very expensive. And so we kind of, you know, use meta-analysis and observational trials and things that might not give us as clear of a picture so then we have to look into the mechanisms of how it's working and what it can do and whatnot. So I think if we kind of go into all those levels, it would be helpful for women to understand that.
100%. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure, right?
Kitty,
we've talked about it, because Kitty's like, I think 12 hours. I don't know. It feels like
we're so funny. She's like,
I tell her, I go, look, my brain just doesn't work after 5 o'clock. She's like, no, we got to do it. Or whatever.
Send this message going, what the fuck? Can you move to a country? She says that. She swore like 10 times in the message. Can you move to a country that's closer in time difference? That's what she said to me. Yeah. I was like, I get it. It is annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I understand.
So we managed to find a midpoint, didn't we? I'm at 6:30 and you're at, what is it, 5:30? No.
I was at 4:30. But, you know, I usually work. I start at like 6, 7. So,
early. Four, so like us.
I don't talk to people at 4.
You're like, my brain's not even functioning.
I don't even speak to people. All the juice has gone out.
She makes an exception for me to do the podcast.
I do.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And we always have a catch up at the start for about an hour. We've blocked out 2 hours now. We always block out 2 hours so we could crap on for an hour at the start and have a catch up. And then we've got enough time. There's many times that we've booked in a podcast. We've talked for an hour and then we're like, oh, we've got no time to do the bloody podcast.
We have done that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about this next one, about the HRT, you know, laying out all of the information, you know, which will be awesome. And then people can just women can make the choice for themselves and they've got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, and again, I think everyone just needs to know all the information, and if they are interested in this perspective, we'll give you our perspective from it and what it looks like. And you know, I don't think it's good or bad, or I think it's just individual.
I think that this is just my personal opinion, is if you're not going to make any lifestyle changes, like you say, understand, like, there are risks with taking it, and it's not actually, you know, looking at the root cause or the issue of why it's happening.
Yeah, well, here's how I look at it, right? If you are having a lot of symptoms, you're having a lot of hot flashes, and your life is complete shit because it's really affecting you, and it does. Like, you will feel, you won't feel good. I mean, and then you can take something that makes those kind of go away by 80 to 90%, and now you'll feel like more normal person, and now you can actually sleep through the night. That benefit will probably far exceed any negative effect maybe the hormones will cause. Maybe, right? I mean, that's how I see it. Because if you're not sleeping, regardless if you have hormones or not, that is a massive detriment to your health. Mm. When you compare all these things, you know, yeah, you can see why there's positive health outcomes with it. But is it the best approach? And I think that's what we have to talk about.
Mm. Yeah, and it's, I think, women too, like, again, and this is just a reflection from a lady that I know, and she is in the pro-metabolic community, and she, you know, did a lot of the right stuff, like ate all the food, you know, ate enough food, strength training, building muscle, but she had a lot of stress in her life, in her personal life, business, relationship, stuff with the partner. And you know, she was experiencing the hot flushes at night, and I kept saying to her, like, I think you just, it's the stress, you need to address the stress. And she's like, well, I'm doing everything, I'm taking progesterone, I'm doing the food. And I said, but look at your life. Anyway, so she ended up going to a functional medicine doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, your adrenals are just burnt out, like, you're just too much stress, you need to pull everything back for 3 months, pull back your training, address this stress in your life. And then she actually increased her progesterone dosage. She pulled her training right back, ate more food. She actually put on a little bit of body fat. And she's like, oh, I'm finally starting to feel better. Like, the hot flashes are gone. You know, I'm gradually easing myself back into training. I've done some emotional work with a coach. But it's just so interesting. It's like, we can go, oh, no, it's not that. You know?
Yeah. Well, and again, that's why you have to have, a deeper understanding of it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people might be like, I can't pull the stress back right now. Right. Mm. At least that's what they're telling themselves. Right. And maybe that's true. Mm. And so are they just supposed to, you know, not sleep for the next 6 months because they can't make those choices, or they don't think they can. And that's why you have to weigh everything. And I think I believe everyone should always be given all the information on both sides. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you get to still choose what you want to do. And so, I think our governments or other people sometimes only give us one thing and push us in one direction. And I think that's where people get upset, because then they have a negative effect and they were never told that, you know, and I wish I was told this, I would have chose to do that. And I never knew these things. Whereas but some people just want to tell me what to do. I don't even want to know. there are certainly those people as well.
Which is understandable, you know, when you're that fucked and you're like, oh my God, I can't sleep and I'm so tired. And I'm like, I think through sometimes these changes, it's like, you know, I feel like too, because we do a lot of work in our program with Greta. She's an emotional coach. And a lot of these women have like trauma and emotional stuff they haven't dealt with, or like really big stresses in their life. And it takes some big life decisions to actually things to change. And sometimes that can feel too hard.
Yeah. You can't get out of that space yet. Mm. So sometimes you need a tool maybe to use in the meantime. And that's what supplements are good for. That's what other, you know, there's all certain things you can use. What I don't want is the messaging to be, to this is the end all. And once you get there, that's the pinnacle, and it might, yep, right? Because that's what I see a little bit online right now, and I think that's a dangerous conversation. And I think
that everyone needs to take hormones, that you should just take hormones when
you're actually going to be worse off if you don't take them. Yeah. And I think then that scares people. Like, oh my God, I was told by my doctor I can't take them. Now they're stressed out. They're going to get worse because they can't take these things. And I think, again, we got to have the entire conversation. And because it's like, what can you do? And so, you know, when I hear a lot of it, like the number one thing you should do is just get on hormone replacement therapy, regardless of your nutrition and all these other things. That's the number one thing. And a lot of people believe that, and rightfully so, because people do feel better on it. But we need to have the conversation around it, which we will have the next time.
Well, thanks so much. And as always, everyone, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on Instagram stories and tag me at KITTYBLOMFILD. And each month I pick a winner and they get a bag of Saturated Premium Collagen. And we'll be back again soon.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.